what is the worst home decor aesthetic?
The Ray things.
Live, laugh, love.
What is happening?
I'm very excited to do this podcast.
That answer just went so many different directions. No, not gonna do that. But let's get into it.
What'd you say?
Is it called Ray? Radon?
What is that?
Do you know what radon is?
No.
Oh my gosh. Actually, do you have the ability to pull up, or were you not that equipped this week?
No, I'm not like Frost, bro.
Okay. Well, I'm going to show you and then maybe I can show a camera. But radon is basically these things.
Here, show it to the camera.
Yeah, first you look.
Oh, you don't like that?
And then you look.
Okay, basically, for anybody listening, they're like pots and stuff that it says what's supposed to go in there.
Yeah, it just says like butter, sugar, snack, but it has like the very specific typography.
So you're like a multi-use, like you like when things aren't labeled so you can put whatever in it.
I think it was cool when it like first came out.
Yeah.
And then it started a craze. Like, you know how Stanley's a craze?
Yeah.
Radon has a cult.
Why is it called Radon?
That's the name of the company.
I thought you were talking about like Raycons, like, you know, the headphones.
It's called Radon. And there's like this huge cult behind Radon where people will go to Marshalls and like these retail stores similar to Marshalls. And they're going to be like hiding things, scouting it out. They wait till the store opens. They like have these collector's items, upsell them. And it's just a weird community. And sometimes it's not always about the product that you hate, but the people.
The people, okay. The fan base.
The fan base of that product. Yeah. That pisses you off.
But I see these everywhere. Like, well, how are they like selling out? Or is it a specific company? Or
the company itself has certain limited edition items.
Like Supreme drops.
Yeah, exactly. And people will go and fight other people for what's in their cart.
Mm.
And they're like, they have all these angry forums online about how this person is like they're like accusing workers of like hiding it in the back, and they like demand them to bring it from the back and stuff. And so the type of person who likes radon is the one who has things written all over their house. And it's the most basic shit ever. Like, it'll just be like a random surfboard and it'll just be like, surf's up.
Okay. Yeah, that's similar to what I said, which is like the live, laugh, love, like any of those like corny signs.
Yeah.
And so what's funny is like my friend, he actually gifted for his housewarming.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a giant picture of Kim Jong-un and it says live, laugh, love.
Wait.
It says live, laugh, love. And he's like smiling, having a good time. So I thought it was like perfect.
That's actually funny though.
Yeah, it's like ironic, but like it's funny. So it makes it works.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't want to hate people for having these basic ass signs everywhere.
Why?
But at the same time, does your laundry room really need you to be like wash and clean?
Wash and clean.
And like wipe in the like toilet area.
I kind of appreciate it for like Airbnbs.
Yeah.
You know, like something about it's like, oh, you're a nice person probably. But
do you think it's like the lack of a style or a decor style?
Could be. But I also think it's like maybe the person's like, it just kind of gives like nice person vibe if it's like for an Airbnb. But if it's like their own place, it's like, yo, you're kind of psychotic.
Yeah. I think Airbnb has a little bit more like leeway, but I always enjoy the Airbnbs with like a specific aesthetic more.
Yeah, no, definitely. I prefer that, obviously, but like, you know, if you have the basic stuff, it's like, you're calm.
Yeah.
You're not like, oh, this person's weird.
Like, why does your bed on top of it have a decal that says like, sweet dreams? Like, shut the fuck up.
Another one I would have said is the thought tapestry.
You know, if you were going to point a gun to shoot me right in the heart.
Amber had the thought tapestry.
Why do you have to add thought in front of it?
That's what it's called.
It's not called a thought tapestry.
It's what's the point of it?
When you lack decor and money in college, you just hang up something that takes up the wall.
It looks cool. It's funny how like every, you know, it just was so common.
Were you about to say every thought? Every thought. Every thought had it. Every it's basically, if you're wondering what it is, it's just a big piece of like cloth and it has like a mandala on it. Am yeah, I saying that word right?
I don't know. Maybe.
Mandala.
I don't know.
Mandala.
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
It's like those things.
The design?
The design is okay. Like a mandala. I think, whatever. And I had like this massive one. But you want to know why I'm different?
Why?
Because I bought my shit from Spain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when I was in my apartment in college, I didn't have money for just decorating a place I was going to live in for a year. But I had like money for like memories. Okay. So I bought this like beautiful little tapestry from Spain and I hung it up across my wall. But when I moved back home, I didn't have a style or aesthetic that I was going for. So I just straight up came home and just pinned it on my wall. And my walls were red.
Oh, dang.
Which is the opposite of calming. Anyways, if you were out here and you had a thought tapestry, my heart goes out to you. You used to also smoke weed. And
you're a drug addict or thought if you had it.
And you're beautiful.
Or both.
And still beautiful.
Welcome back to Strange Flavors. My name is Shamir.
My name is Amber.
And my name is Faraz.
And we are the strangest and greatest podcast
on the planet.
In the game.
Except I'm the worst part of the podcast.
As you can tell, Faraz is not here.
Again. You know, he was talking about how he had perfect attendance.
Yeah. And then he missed 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And when we had our one-on-one conversation on Strange Flavors 3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. he said... the reason we didn't meet up that episode was because he didn't want to get sick because I was sick then. And so he's like, you know, I didn't want to get sick before my trip. He was like, it's better to get sick afterwards. And guess what?
Faraz, you got him sick.
I got him sick. No. I was going to say he manifested himself into becoming sick.
And here's the thing about Faraz. He loves manifesting sicknesses because he swears up and down and all around that he does not get sick. And then he mentions... either getting sick or not getting sick. And then that boy just gets hit.
He gets hit. So that's why he's not here. So we have a Shamir and Amber episode. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. But this time it's in person. We had one 2 weeks ago.
Less shitty.
So we have the whole three camera system. So, you know, it's nice. We're on the couch. I'm blending in with the couch too.
Yeah. You're literally the brown version of camo.
Yeah. But it only works with this couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... we have a couple stories and for you guys. And
Yeah. So you said that you had a doctor's appointment this weekend.
So basically, a few episodes ago, like a month or two months ago, I was supposed to visit an auntie.
Wait, everybody go and wish Frost that he feels better.
Or tell him like, yo, he's a bitch. No.
Yeah, stop it. Everybody message Frost and say, stop being a little bitch.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways. Okay, but yeah, a month ago or 2 months ago, mm-hmm. I was supposed to have an auntie check my balls.
Yeah.
And by the gracious of God, that didn't happen.
But you were excited for it.
I was excited for it because I was like nervous.
Yeah.
And it would have been like a story. Mm-hmm. But it didn't happen, probably for a good reason. So finally, I figured out my insurance and everything like that.
Okay.
And I've been training for this half marathon, which is like next week.
Yeah.
And so I've been having like knee pain and stuff like that. Yeah. And so I was like really nervous. I like wanted to check it out. And the closest doctor's appointment was last week.
Okay.
So finally everything figured out, you know, insurance, all that stuff. That shit's complicated as hell. Mm-hmm. If you know, you know. And so finally got into a doctor and I had an Asian lady, as my doctor, like a very thick accent Asian lady.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know,
do you need help?
What?
Like figuring out your doctor stuff?
I did, yeah, but I figured it out now.
I mean, were you comfortable going to this Asian lady with the thick accent?
No, I was just, well, it had good ratings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
okay,
I wasn't
okay,
going for the doctor. I was just going to the practice. Oh, the practice had good ratings, but the Asian lady came in.
Fair.
And usually they give you the name and stuff. So that's how I like knew, like, oh, this is going to be an Indian doctor or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, an Asian lady with thick accent came and... first of all, I was like not worried about like her checking my stuff. I was worried about like my knee.
Oh.
Like that was like the main thing. I was doing a physical and everything just for, like, you know, first time appointment and whatnot. So I'm doing all that. I'm just worried about my knee. She's like, yeah, you probably have like runner's knee, which is basically like you put a lot of, you know, force on it like really quickly. Mm-hmm. And so it can heal itself. It's just be careful. And she's like, when's your run? And I was like, next week. And she just started laughing. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, yeah, I know, but hopefully it'll be good, you know, whatnot. So basically, like, that, you know, reduced my anxiety about it. Because I don't know about you, but whenever I have, like, something wrong, mm-hmm. I think I have, like, cancer or something like that.
Like, Shamir, you didn't think, like, hey, I've been training for a marathon, which is, like, probably directly impacting my knees. And, like, that might be why my knee is hurting.
Oh, I knew why my knee was hurting. Oh. But I didn't know if it was a bone thing. I didn't know if it was a muscle thing. I didn't know if it's permanent. I didn't know if it's temporary. Because, dude, I couldn't even walk upstairs.
Did they tell you you had Osgood Schlatter?
What the hell is that?
It's like a knee problem.
No.
It's like when your knee, like, the muscles underneath your knee are tender.
Mm.
Is that what they said?
No.
Oh.
I mean, that could be part of, like, runner's knee or whatnot. Mm. I knew it was exactly from that. It's just, I didn't know, like, it was it bone? Was it muscle? Was it something temporary? Was it something permanent?
Did they say you'd be okay?
I did an x-ray and everything like that. So they said I'll be fine.
But to run?
I mean, she didn't stop me from it. She was like, oh, like, you should be good. Like, you know.
Did she tell you to lay off till you go?
She was like, you should, you know, ease it up. But I was like, okay, cool.
Weren't you already concerned that you were running, like, inefficiently? Like, you were hitting maybe the ground too hard?
Yeah, so the way I was just training was, like, much easier. Mm. Yeah. So, like, those weren't my issues. I just wanted to know the issue.
Mm.
I already knew why I had the issue, but yeah. I just needed to know the issue. But, yeah, anytime, like, I have, like, a, you know, health problem,
mm-hmm.
I immediately resort to, like, the worst thing. I'm like, oh, what if it's, like, bone cancer or something like that? Like, so.
You're the real life, what's it called? Not Wiki.
The website. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But, like, white coat syndrome.
WebMD. It's like you're coughing. It's like, oh, you probably have pancreatic cancer. Like,
yeah, straight up.
Yeah. But she didn't touch my balls or look at them.
Oh, I thought this was going to end in a ball tickling session.
I was hoping. Like, I thought afterwards, she just asked me, right? And then, like, I, like, was undressed in, like, my boxers and everything.
Uh-huh.
She checked everything else. Not the balls. Like, I was like, okay. And then I didn't even think about it, right? Because I was concerned for my knee. And then afterwards, I'm like, wait, she didn't touch my balls.
Did you tell her, like, as you're leaving, like, wait, did you?
No. I realized, like, after I was driving.
You want to tickle my pickle? Tickle.
And so I was like, oh, maybe, you know, not all. Like, it made me miss my, like, southern doctor.
Maybe she just didn't want to touch your balls.
Yeah. And that's concerning, too. I was like, do I look weird? Like,
is it my haircut?
Yeah, is it my haircut? Like, what was it? So
I'm so sorry you didn't get your balls touched.
Yeah. So I could have, you know, testicle cancer.
Yeah. And oh, that's why, God, get away from me.
That's
gross.
Why my knee's hurting.
Don't be saying gross. I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that. Oh, my God. Speaking of getting ready for your marathon, shortly after you have your marathon, we have, like, the Savage Race coming up.
Yeah.
And I've been low-key training on my end, except the whole traveling for 2 weeks didn't help too much. So I was sitting there kind of reviewing some of the stuff that's going to be in it. And one of the videos they sent in our group chat was literally this, like, 12-foot wall. And you just have to, like, get over the wall. Just to the other side. And I was looking at all the ways to do it. And, like, the strongest way to do it is that you go and, like, do a pull up basically. And you, like, throw your legs over. And so I sat there and I just looked, like, really, like, concerned. And my coach comes over to me. He's like, are you just resting? Like, what's going on? I was like, no, I'm just thinking about how I'm going to be able to do a pull-up in 4 months. Like, I'm not sure how I'm going to do this. So he starts going into, like, all the ways of how I can learn to do a pull-up. Because I'm strong in, like, weird ways, not in an upper body type of way, you know? Like, I can jump really high, but I can't pull myself up for shit. So he starts going into this whole thing and he starts asking me, like, what my goals are in general. And I tell him, I was like, you know, my goal is just to be cute. And he's like, that's not quantifiable. And I'm like, every coach says this. I don't know how to quantify being cute. I just want to be strong and I want to be cute. Like, I don't know how to go beyond that, you know? And then he goes, okay, like, are you comfortable at where your weight is right now? And I don't know why I got so triggered. I'm, like, getting so triggered from this whole, like, weight question recently, one of my like closest guy friends, he was on FaceTime with me yesterday and he goes, so have you checked your weight ever since you came back from your trip? And I was like, no. And he was like, oh, like, are you just like avoiding it?
Are you?
And I was like, no, like I'm not checking it. Like, I'm sure it's similar to before, but I don't want to just like be like worried about the scale. Also, as a girl, you like fluctuate a lot throughout the month. I was like, I'm probably going to check when I'm like at equilibrium, but I don't want to just like put myself in a weird headspace for no reason. And then he was like, oh, okay, I just want to make sure that like you're conscious of yourself. And I was like, I wanted to be like, are you calling me fat, motherfucker?
Is that how you felt?
He was insinuating. Like, let's be fucking for real, right? And then it triggered me to this whole thing where, I think 2 weeks ago, Frost, I like ran up the stairs and I ran down the stairs and I ran up the stairs. And Frost was like, why are you out of breath? And I was like, I don't know, I'm fat, okay? Like, you know? So I'm like really anti-man right now because I feel like everything is an attack at my weight and nobody knows how hard it is to be skinny, okay? People just think like I'm over here like taking down pies and cakes and ice cream.
Are you? No.
I'm not doing that.
Not even on the vacation?
Even on vacation, I was like not eating like unhealthy, you know. I had a salad bar option every day and all my friends were like, oh wait, why would you eat a salad, like everything's free. I'm like, salad is expensive at home. This shit is free too. Like this, yeah. You know, and like I'm sure I've fluctuated in weight, but why can I not just have some grace? Why can't I fluctuate? Sure, my face is going to be round, sure it's going to be skinny. So I didn't realize how much this bothered me till I got on a call with my therapist today.
From a guy's perspective, they are not trying to dig into you.
Yeah.
They're trying to just give you like helpful critique.
Right. So I talked to my therapist about this and that was my perspective. I was like, I don't want to tell these guys not to give me this feedback because if they're not telling me, then who is telling me? And if I'm telling them that it's bothering me, they're going to think I'm a weak ass bitch. I don't want to be sensitive. And she was like, she basically was like, why are you trying to encourage negative self-talk around you? And I was like, I'm not. But at the same time, like, I don't want my friends to not tell me if they think I'm getting fat. Yeah. But at the same time, me personally, I'm like, should I be fighting them?
No.
Okay, do you think there's a different way that maybe they could tell me, or do you think that they're doing the right thing?
I think they're doing the right thing, but I understand how girls perceive that information differently. Like, that's the perfect thing to say to another guy. Like, what they're saying, they're treating you as our own.
Yeah.
Which is also very flattering if you think about it. As a girl, like, that never happens.
Yeah, that's true. And that's why I'm like, hey, at least they're being for real with me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like,
well, how would you want to hear it?
Okay, I think what I would like is a little bit of grace. Like, I just got back from vacation. I've been flying. I haven't been sleeping. Like, probably my water retention is up. Maybe give me a couple of weeks. Maybe just give me some time.
Yeah.
And, like, then they could be like, hey, like, how's boot camp going?
Yeah.
Oh, have you been able to make it? Something like that, as opposed to have you checked your weight recently, is giving me like a, hey, like you're really pushing it up in weight. Here's the reason why is this. During your period, you can gain up to 10 pounds.
That's wild.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
Like imagine being from 170 to 180. That's a huge fucking difference.
Yeah.
180 to 190 as a woman. That makes a world of difference.
I feel like a lot of guys don't know that.
That you fluctuate a lot during your period?
Like, we think, basically, like, we think how we treat you as one of our own.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when they're talking to you like that. And they're also making it nicer. Like, if you were a guy, they'd be like, yo, bro, like, you've lost a lot of weight or you gained a lot of weight. Like, you got to cut that down or something like that. So they're actually speaking to you very nicely.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I guess, in a way, I'm like, I guess because I'm getting it so much, I feel like I'm getting weird about it because there must be truth in it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like if a lot of people are saying it to me, maybe I am just gaining weight and it's very apparent.
Has it motivated you at all, or has it demotivated you?
I've never been the type of person that gets motivated by others' commentary.
Okay.
Me looking at myself in the mirror and not feeling well, like I will be the first person to fix my own behavior because I'm like, I don't like the way I look. Okay. A weird way to put it is I've never noticed when people are around me at the gym, like working out. Mm. I'm not like, oh, they're doing more push-ups, let me catch up, or like they're going faster than me.
But what about like if a coach is telling you like, hey, do more push-ups, or like...
Yeah, I mean, I like positive encouragement, okay. But yeah, like the other day I was doing these wall balls. So I'm throwing this like heavy ass ball at the wall up there. And all of a sudden I just see this bitch next to me and I feel like I'm competing with her. And I turn to the side and I realize there's a mirror next to me. And that was like so relatable how I feel, because I'm going to be my only competition. Like some girl can look a million times better than me and I love that for her, but she won't be the reason why I want to get fit. Mm. I'm going to be the reason that I want to get fit.
Okay.
And so I think in a way I'm like, before you could ever start to be harsh with me, like I've already been harsh on myself for a while.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I mean, it's been hard to explain, because then when these guys are making these comments, I'm like, do you want me to tell you that I've like my body is holding onto weight and it's like protecting itself for pregnancy, and like I have an entire pouch around my stomach, like protecting me from like giving birth and shit like that? Like my body's going through a lot of changes, and that's like the truth for a lot of girls. Like they can go from being skinny as heck.
Yeah.
And like a lot of times, like I think like the day before my period, I'll be like so bloated, so fat. My whole face is big. My stomach is big. And then literally like 3 days into my period, I'm the skinniest bitch around. I am snatched, small waist. My face, my jawline is snatched. But it's just a matter of what time you are in the month. And it sucks when you're at the bloated time of your month and then guys are making the commentary like, have you checked the scale? Like,
wait, so did that comment come out of nowhere? Or it was in context, right?
No, I was like on FaceTime and the camera was just like a little bit lower. So I guess I looked down and you could see a little bit of a double chin.
Oh, okay.
As soon as he saw the double chin and I saw the double chin, he was like, have you checked your weight recently? I was like, oh my God. But yeah, I just wanted to see if you had better advice as to how guys can handle that. And you're saying that they're doing a good job.
Yeah. So probably something you don't want to hear. But yeah, I don't think that can change, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like, to be real, like, I think you could explain it to, you know, them. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're going to understand. They only see things face value. Either losing weight, or you're gaining weight, or you at the same weight.
Yeah.
Like, it's black and white for us. So it's like, you could say like, oh yeah, this, that. But
it sounds like excuses.
For what? For what you're saying?
Yeah. Like if a guy's like, oh, you're gaining weight. I'm like, no, it's just my period. And they're like, this lying ass bitch. She's just fat. And she wants
And that's how we'll look at it. You're right.
Like, yeah.
That's how we'll look at it.
So there's no point in me trying to make I just have to accept the fact that they just think I'm gaining weight.
Yeah.
And I have for a long time. Anytime somebody makes like a remark that I'm gaining weight, I'm like, all right, cool. Give it a week or two, motherfucker. You gonna see. But now that the comments are piling up, I'm like,
yeah.
It sucks, because trust and believe, I'm going to notice it like 10 days before you can ever say something to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, never mind.
Make sure you're checking the scale.
If you in the comments, if you could tell me how I can address this with the guys without coming across as a sensitive ass bitch, let me know. Or if you think that there's a better way that they could be saying it.
Yeah. Who do you think could answer this?
I think for guys, they could give
their perspective or something.
Like, give me insight as to why they're saying it that way.
Okay.
Like, what is their thought process behind it?
Yeah.
And then for girls, they could maybe come up with ways that guys could say it better that would be less hurtful.
Yeah.
Because have you checked your weight recently? Did not feel good. At all.
Yeah. No, I feel that.
Are you avoiding the scale? Are you avoiding the mirror? Just kidding.
You had another story about conversion? Conversion. Everyone's converting for Amber. If you guys didn't listen to the last Patreon episode, or not last Patreon episode, the Patreon episode before that, some guy literally converted his race for Amber.
Yeah, he changed his race to try to be with me. But you have to be on the Patreon. You hear that story. Yeah. So that was a juicy ass Patreon
that
episode.
That was a juicy Patreon. But yeah, this is a little short plug. If you want to listen to us chat more, we have a bonus episode every single week on Patreon. So come join us there. If you want to not become a stranger anymore, you can become a friend or family. Join us over there.
That's so cute.
We have wonderful merch also on our website. So
yeah,
in our store. Lovely merch.
And if you buy some merch now, that'll encourage us to put something out more, you know?
Yeah.
And we do have some stuff in the works. So.
And then we'll do some sort of giveaway where you like fly to our podcast studio. Just kidding.
They fly to our factory where we're making the merch. Yeah.
we don't even know the factory.
They come to our studio warehouse where we have a massive podcast production.
Massive podcast production.
Yeah.
It's like insanely huge.
Yeah. It's.
They might get lost in here.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I remember someone came in. It was Sydney. Mm-hmm. She thought the room would be bigger.
How could it be bigger than this?
Yeah, it's just too big.
This is like a massive. You know, there's like so many sets here.
Yep.
Yeah, we just like this one the most.
Yeah.
Okay, now that we're done bullshitting. So actually, the reason why I put it like this is somebody is not converting for me. They're the opposite of converting for me.
They're not converting for
themselves.
Wait, like, but also for you?
No.
Okay.
So basically this guy, I talked about him in a previous episode. He was the one where he was being mean to the Indian nerd dudes. So if you know, you know.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is the you went to like a social.
Yeah, it was a networking event.
Networking event. And he was kind of sort of very aggressive towards the nerdy.
He was just like,
or making remarks.
Yeah, just shrugging them off. Gotcha. And just being like weird towards the Indian guys at the networking
event.
And
then you were talking shit about them on the podcast.
About who?
The nerds.
No. Don't do that. I was taking the nerd side.
Yeah. But we asked you, would you date them? You're like, no. And we're like, why?
Do you want me to date just anybody? Like,
we want you to give the nice guy a chance. You gave the asshole a chance.
I didn't realize I was with the asshole at the time. Okay. So originally when I went on a first date with this guy, right? He had asked me, he's like, oh, like, is it a problem that I'm not Muslim? I said, it's not a problem that you're not Muslim, but I will be marrying a Muslim man. And I only intend on dating a Muslim man, like being with them. So I'm not trying to tell you, but in order for it to work out for me, that's what I'm seeking. And he was like, okay, well, that's really good because like I'm really interested in Islam. If I was going to be interested in any religion, it would be Islam.
Is he not religious? Is he Christian?
He's like very spiritual.
Okay.
Extremely spiritual, like all about God. He's vegan. He's all about connecting with the earth, all of that. So he, over the weeks, you know, we start from this really strong basis of like, I'm interested in Islam and like, I would consider converting. And like, I want to look into it. It went from that to over the weeks, he started saying stuff like religion is divisive and like, oh, like Muslims might just close their eyes and accept anything just because it's written in the Quran. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't say that we would talk and you're going to talk shit about my religion. That's not happening, you know? So I was letting him know, I was like, hey, tread lightly here because I'm only talking to a man who I have potential with. And he has to be Muslim. That's just who I am. And he was like, okay, yeah. And then his like remarks would get more and more aggressive. Okay. So tell me why I get back from Miami last week. And the very next day he posts an airplane wing on his story.
Meaning he's traveling.
Yeah. That was on Tuesday. We had plans for Wednesday.
Oh, so you're like... Where are you going?
Where are you going?
Yeah, where are you going?
You know?
You gonna make it tomorrow?
Are you coming tomorrow or not?
Or maybe he's flying back?
Right. What's going on?
Yeah.
You know? So we have plans for Wednesday. He was the one who asked to make plans for Wednesday.
Mm.
So, and he kept hitting my line being like, I can't wait to see you on Wednesday. I can't wait to see you on Wednesday. So imagine my surprise when I open up Instagram and he's posting an airplane wing on his story.
Yeah.
So I reply to it with just a question mark.
Okay.
And he goes, Middle East.
He's in the Middle East?
And I said, for what? Uh-huh. And he said, spiritual journey.
Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I said, so did you not want to tell me, considering we have plans tomorrow? Like, did you want to let me know? He's like, I'm telling you right now.
Is he trying to convert so that on Wednesday the wedding happens? And then you'll accept his marriage?
At this point, I'm still like, the last time I talked to him, he has no interest in Islam anymore. And I'm losing interest in him.
Yeah.
Because he's like not saying the right things anymore. And so I was like, after I said, hey, like, did you not want to tell me that you're not going to be here? He was like, I'm telling you right now. I was like, but like prior? And he was like, I just found out. I was like, you just found out that you're going to the Middle East for a spiritual journey right now on the plane? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, whatever. You're pissing me off, you know? And I was like, you're vague as fuck. And like, I don't understand you. And he was like, I'm telling you everything. Really? Because the last time I checked, the Middle East is like 15 different countries. Is it not? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So after this, I was like, whatever. And I like, he was like, whatever. Right. We cut off the conversation. The very next morning, the azan is on his story.
Okay.
And he just writes Al-Fajr prayer.
Okay.
Okay. The next
one. Are you like flattered? Are you like concerned? Are you
I'm
weirded out?
I'm fucking confused.
Okay.
You know? And then the next story is just like a picture of a mosque and it says Salam.
Wait, he wrote Salam?
Yes.
Okay.
He wrote Salam.
Okay.
Even with the extra A at the end of Salam.
Okay, nice.
And I was like, okay, cool. He's walking around. He's like, you know, going to these mosques, he's eating, he's doing whatever. Then I see a like auntie who's like marinating chicken and he's like marinating chicken with her. And I'm like, where the fuck is he? Like, like what is he doing?
Yeah.
And I just replied to that story. I was like, so are you not going to tell me what country you're in? Because at this point, I'm ready to talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going full
force. Is it Wednesday at this point?
It's like Thursday at this point.
So he just like totally skipped.
Yeah. Like there's no way he's making it back from the Middle East in 24 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. He's like marinating chicken. I was like, are you just not going to tell me what country you're in? He goes, Oman.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Right. He's vegan.
Maybe this is a spiritual awakening. It's not for the Islam. It's for the anti-veganism.
Okay, so...
the meat eating.
Maybe, right?
Yeah.
And then I go on the gram. I'm so sorry, podcast. You won't be able to see this, but we'll do it for Shamir's reaction.
Okay.
I'm nervous. I go on Instagram, and he posts this. Swipe.
Yo, that's a badass pick, though. I'm not going to lie. Hold on. Whoa. Okay. Yo, this is kind of crazy. The walking video. The walking video. Dang, dude. He looks good, though.
I know, right?
This is a good... These are good photos, too. Does he usually take photos like these?
I think he's just a good-looking dude.
But like the photographer snapped.
This is the other pictures he took while he's there.
The photographer snapped.
The photographer did snap. You're actually right about that.
Okay, so like
he's basically wearing like a thobe and like the
He's like on the set of Dune right now and he's just like walking on the sand and it's like very cinematic
and looks straight out of Saudi.
Yeah.
Okay,
like it looks natural.
Mm-hmm. Little do these people know that when that he's hanging out with, he was talking about how divisive Islam is and he's over there being like converting basically for everybody but me.
Yeah.
For everybody but me.
He's the type of person that's like, okay, he wants to know both ends. If he wants to get into something, he needs to know both ends, the worst part of it and like the best part. So he's going to like dive in. He's going to be anti like everything, challenge it, question it. Then he's like, you know what? If these are how the people are, let me become one of them.
Okay.
I think that's what he's doing.
Okay.
That's my like mental diagnosis of what he's doing.
All right. So you don't think that I have a reason to be mad?
I mean, the communication, that's an issue.
Major issue.
Major issue. That's like something you should be like, okay, why, what? Like, he should be telling you, like, this is what I'm doing it for. This is what I'm doing.
Hey, sorry, I won't be able to make it Thursday. I won't be able to make it on Wednesday. I'm going on a spiritual journey to the Middle East. I shouldn't have to reply to your airplane wing to ask you what the fuck is going on. Because what if I didn't reply to it?
What's crazy, though, is you kind of, like, converted him.
You think so?
I mean, you sprinkled the seed, right? Unless he was already, like, interested before.
You think I got that power, Shamir?
That's what it sounds like. Unless he was already, like, interested before.
Well, he's saying that this came up out of nowhere.
You definitely sprinkled a seed.
Then. You think so?
Unless he's talking to other Muslim girls.
Oh, I hate that. Oh, I don't like that.
But I
don't
like
your first diagnosis better. It was all about me.
But yeah, like.
Except not about me at all, because it's one thing if he was like, hey, like, Amber, like, this is going so great. Oh, my God, I can't wait to see you. Da 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 da. Oh, guess what? I'm going to the Middle East. Hey, how do you say hi in Muslim?
How do you say hi in Muslim?
Like, include me on the process.
Yeah.
Don't come back Muslim and be like, assalamu alaikum.
He might be the type of guy that, like, he doesn't want you to, like, upgrade him, but he wants to be upgraded for you already.
How about he just upgrade his communication?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, that's really weird.
Isn't it?
So you think he's still vegan?
So next to the chicken, I saw skewers of mushrooms.
Is that like Zabiha too? Like, is he cutting the mushroom by the neck or something?
It was like mushrooms, tomatoes, onions on skewers. And
dang. And you said he's jacked?
Jacked.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, for him at least, like, is his, like, skin nice and everything?
Super tight, and he, like, he went on, like, a 7-day water fast.
Oh, dude, those people are crazy.
Yeah, well, I was like, oh, look at the discipline.
I mean, yeah, discipline's crazy.
Yeah,
but, yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, so, well, that was the end of that chapter.
That was a good segue actually into my story. We're supposed to get into afterwards, but so there's, like, the nice kebab place that opened near my house.
It wasn't just mushrooms on a skewer?
No, it was, like, actual kebabs. And so I, like, invited all my, like, you know, white Hispanic friends to, like, come try kebabs. Because I really like this kebab place. It's, like, in a different location. Okay. They opened, like, a second location right near my house. Like, literally 5-10 minutes away. So I was like, hey, guys, like, pull through, you know, we're eating. So they were really excited. One of my other friends, he's, like, ordering for everybody. Mm-hmm. He gets the karai and, like, everything is in karai, like the kebabs. Like, I wanted to get, like, you know, just the plain Sikh kebabs and stuff like that, not in the karai, because I knew that if we get the karai, it's gonna be very spicy for the other friends. So
yeah,
we gotta, like, you know, watch out for those friends, because I want them to come back again.
To be a good experience, not an experiment.
Yeah. And so my friend did, he's like one of those type of guys, like, no, they'll be fine, like, no, they'll be good, you know, like those type. He's that type of person. And so he ordered everything in the karai. And the guy was like, oh, how spicy you want it? He's like, oh, just put it all spicy. I was like, whoa. Like, we got some white gore log here. Like, we can't be doing that. And so then he was like, no, they'll be fine. I'm like, no. Like, you got to watch out, you know.
Get some chilies on the side.
You can always, like, do stuff on the side. And, like, I was like, with the kebabs, you still have the chicken karai. We can mix it with the kebabs if you want to. But he's like, no, the kebab karai is really good. So I was like, all right. But at least make regular spicy for two of the dishes. That's where we compromised. And so then the dishes came out. And so all my friends, they, like, get the naan. We get the garlic naans and everything.
Ooh,
like that.
Oh, so good.
And so I see them. They're taking the piece out. And then they leave it in the hand. They get a fork. And they're eating the chicken and the kebabs with the fork. And then they're biting into the naan. And I'm like, shit, I've never been through this where I, like, have to teach somebody, like, you know, how to eat it properly.
Yeah.
Like, I was just expecting naturally, like, oh, they're watching how I do it, they'll do it too. But I was like, wait, they're not used to this.
That's giving, even though they don't know, it's like low-key psycho behavior to us.
I'm like, what the heck are you guys doing? And so then me and, like, my two other brown friends were like, no, you guys got to eat it. Like, drop the fork.
Yeah.
Like, we're being assholes. You know, like, when you go to, like, a sushi restaurant and some people don't know how to use the chopsticks, and you're like, bro, you can't use the fork for sushi. You, like, have to learn. Even if you suck at it, you still have to do it. So we were, like, telling them, like, no, you got to eat it. So then they start eating it. They're like, this is really good. And then you hear the sniffles. And I'm like, shit. Oh, no. And then my friend who ordered, he's like, oh, you're sniffling already? And I'm like, oh, no, come on. come on, you can't like entice them. He's like, yeah. No, I'm good. I'm good. And my friend was like, I'm good. And then they keep eating it. They're like, this is really good, but it's so spicy. And like one of them was like, hey, I want to be challenged. Like I want to be spicy challenged.
He thought this is a hot wing challenge.
Yeah. And we're like, desi spicy is not regular spicy.
It's not.
So yeah, we're eating it. We're all enjoying it, but it's all really spicy. Even for me, it was really spicy too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, you know, this must be 10 times worse for them.
Yeah.
And there's one friend who comes in like really late. And he can't handle spice at all.
Mm.
And I feel so bad for him because he came straight from work. So he's like hungry and everything. Yeah. And I was like, he's not going to have a good experience. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then he's eating it. He's just like all red, snot everywhere.
No.
And I'm like, oh, please, I hope you come back again. Please, I hope you come back again. And then like I'm giving them like the dahi and everything like that.
Yeah, you got to pile that shit on.
Yeah, so that we're helping them out. And then, so their experience at the end of that is that desi food is really spicy, but they said it's really good.
Yeah.
So I was like, next time I'm going to order you like plain kebabs,
mm-hmm.
one spicy dish if you want to go for it.
Yeah.
And then just like multiple, you know.
For American people who are eating desi food, they don't even need any spice because I think they might take the flavor in itself as spice.
100%.
So because they're so flavorful, that would be way enough spice for them because flavor. So for desi food, the flavor is always there.
Yeah.
The heat is basically all that you're adding into it.
Yeah.
And if, as long as you have the heat down, the flavor still hits.
Yeah.
And I really do think that white people think that like that in itself is spicy enough.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. And it's marinated really well and mm-hmm. all that stuff. So like you can eat it plain. You can have the dahi, you can have the chutney. Like
mm-hmm.
it still works really well. So, but yeah, that was like, I feel like I
ripped to their toilets.
Yeah. I hope they would want to come again. Two of them definitely were like, oh, I love it. Like, even though it was super hot, like, I'll come again. But I just haven't had that experience in a while where I had to like train somebody for desi food.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really excited for this restaurant because it was really good. The food is amazing.
Your friend's an asshole.
Yeah. And he was like, come on, he was like, aren't you like British? You guys like invaded us. You guys should be good for like spices and shit like that. He's like, I'm not even British.
He was like trying to make him pay reparations that he didn't even owe.
And I was like, I understand what he's doing. He's just like, you know, suck it up, you know, whatnot. But it's like, I'm the type to be like, give him the best experience,
yeah.
like minimal, you know, and then we can work our way up there.
Yeah.
Maybe the second time, third time or whatnot. But yeah, that's the experience.
It's because you started straight at the curries. You have to start at the Zinger Burgers.
Yes. Yes. I've taken a few of them to this nice like chai place. You know of it. It's Cha Tea House.
Oh, we had our event there.
Yeah. And so they have this thing called the Zinger Roll, which is so really good.
Good.
It's really good. And some of them had it and they're like, this is amazing.
Yeah. 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 Oh so, my God. Now I want Cha Tea House. It's so good.
I mean, I'm really excited for the DC area, especially like mm-hmm. Virginia, like Maryland kind of is getting up there,
mm-hmm.
but DC especially too with the desi food. That's like Americanized a little bit,
mm-hmm.
where it's like easy for white people or Hispanic people to like try it.
Yeah. Did you know that Cardi just opened up in Tyson's?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the isn't that the clothing store?
Yeah, it's like a J Dot.
Okay.
But for like woman.
Is that in Tyson's too or one?
Tyson's Corner. The like first one.
Okay. One.
Yeah, Tyson's. Okay,
wow,
the main one.
Wow.
Right.
That's crazy.
It's like, I feel like Tyson's is like really elevating. So Tyson's is like the DMV tri-state area, and they have like the Shotted area over there, and they have Cha Tea House, which is in the same mall.
Yeah.
Now they have Cardi, and they had their grand opening this past weekend.
Mm.
And Tyson's is it's the nicest mall around. Yeah. And so I got really excited because I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go to Cardi. Like, it's going to be the experience of Pakistan without being as ratchet as Pakistan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you go to Pakistan and whatever. And so I was reading the reviews about people's experiences, and they were like, aunties were like clothes were on the ground. They were stepping on it. They were like, you know, like putting it here, like throwing the clothes around, like not respecting the store at all. Yeah, and
just like home,
except for the fact that Cardi in Islamabad and like in it's in every big city, They actually are considered a high-end store there, and they don't do that. So the experience that they're having in America with Cardi is worse than the experience that they would have in Pakistan. I was like, wow, Desi's just can never do it right.
Wow. Do you go Desi shopping a lot, like clothing shopping? Or do you like just browse and see what?
I've never like been super into brown clothes, but as I'm getting older, I'm having to buy my own clothes. Yeah. And I'm having to deal with that hassle. And I'm learning that you can buy clothes online and get them like delivered and stuff like that. But I got really excited because for most people, they either fit small, medium, or large. For me, sometimes I'm a small, sometimes a medium, sometimes a large, specifically based off of arm size. Mm. So I got really excited by the idea of it being in America because I want to try it on, see if it fits before I can order it. Because when I order it from back home, I could order a small and it'd be fire, or I can order a small and it's going to fit Aria, like my niece, my 5-year-old niece. So there's just no way of knowing. So I'm kind of sad to hear this, but hopefully, Desi's, can we just do a little bit better? Just a little bit better. And I can enjoy.
I think everyone's just hyped, you know? It's like Black Friday for them.
Yeah, but like, okay. One rule, a couple rules. Wear deodorant before you go.
Does it smell bad?
I'm sure it does. Have you ever taken a flight between like to Pakistan? And that shit be stinking.
I mean, I don't know if I had that experience. Luckily, maybe the passengers next to me smell good, but
I took a flight from here to Qatar and then Qatar to Pakistan. That Qatar, I didn't even know it could be hot in a plane. I'm always so cold in a plane.
A PIA, I have that experience.
We don't even fly PIA anymore. It was Qatar Airlines.
No way.
And that shit was hot. It smelled like masala. This guy stood up and there was just like a wet stain on his butt. And I was like, what is that from? Like,
and
what
he was sitting
is that
right next
from?
To you?
He was sitting in like the thing in front of me. And then like they'll like put their arms up to like close the things above. And I'm like, oh my God. Like I'm being like knocked out from the smell to the point where I literally took my sweater, put it over my nose and tied it on top of my nose because it was so disgusting.
Dang. Okay.
And it was one of those flights where the flight leading into Qatar, I had a whole row from Qatar to Pakistan.
So you were spoiled.
I was literally arm by arm by arm. Stuck.
You don't think you smelled in high school?
No, because my mom was always really mean.
What do you mean?
She just like from day one, she was like, deodorant.
That, oh, good for her.
She's like the type where anybody comes from Pakistan, she sits them down. She's like, in America, we wear deodorant, we wear bras, and we wear underwears. Here's a pair of everything. Make sure
she's like a kit.
Yeah. And she's like, maybe the water's different, whatever, but it's very easy to smell here and people don't like it. So like, here's a deodorant. You always wear underwear. You always wear like, you know, just like trying to get them up to speed.
That's really smart. Yeah. Cause I had a friend, he didn't smell. Mm-hmm. But he brought the food that smelled.
Oh.
So like he would have breakfast, right? Mm-hmm. He would always like miss the bus. His mom would have to drop him off. And so he would eat breakfast at home, but he had a lunch that he would also eat for breakfast. Oh. But in class.
Why would he do that?
Because he was just that hungry.
Just like salad and chavo.
So no, it was like he had like anda and like paratha and like,
oh my God,
he had like, you know, some other stuff in there. He had like egg sandwiches and stuff like that.
Wait, that kind of sounds like it would smack though.
It probably smacked, but it just stunk. Yeah, like because it was in that aluminum foil and he would keep in his backpack, so it kind of like marinate with the
into his backpack.
And so then he would like sit in the back of the class and then you could just like smell when like he opened his backpack and started eating. And everyone's like, what's that smell? And like,
I'm surprised that you guys were even allowed to eat in class.
I think he was like sneaking like the eating like in the back of the class. Yeah.
Yeah. I had experience with a couple of people smelling, but I always came down to one thing was that their desi mom had told them that when they come home, instead of putting clothes in the wash, to hang it up and rewear it.
What?
Yeah.
Ew.
And I found this out like through the grapevine that like multiple people were doing this, and it was always those people that smelled bad.
And they weren't aware themselves?
No.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like I had to sit one of my friends down and I was like, hey.
Was it a girl?
It's a girl.
What? Damn, that's even worse.
Yeah, and I was like, hey, like, sis, like, I love you, but, like, you smell really bad. And she was like, wait, really? My mom always tells me I stink. I thought she was lying. I was like, no, babe.
Was it, like, sweat smell or was it, like, food?
It was just, like, a BO. Like, oh, okay. Genuine natural body BO. Odor. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't like it was caused by anything in particular. It was just her BO. Like, it was her natural body would create that smell.
Yeah.
And so she would just smell bad, but it, like, and she loved being affectionate.
Oh no.
So she'd come over to me like, and she'd be like, Amber, and like wrap her arms around me, and I'd be like, hey. And then she'd be like, oh my god, like, tell me about your day, how's it going? No. And just like have her arms up and like wrap her arm around me, just be so sweet. She's being so sweet.
Yeah.
And it's not even like ill intention, she just, you know, smelled bad. And I had to just tell her, I was like, hey, like, I don't know how to tell you this, but you need to put some deodorant on.
Dude,
or change your deodorant, yeah, if that's the case, because it's not working.
That sucks.
Yeah. But it did help her. She never smelled after that day again.
Oh, wow.
I know. Okay. So sometimes you just got to tell your friends when they stank.
Yeah.
It'll be a good friend. Look out.
Be a good friend. Did you have another thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a bunch of topics for you guys. We kind of like...
Diverted.
Oh, stingrays.
Yeah. So did you hear about this like aquarium? And there's a stingray in this tank. It's the only stingray in that tank. And the stingray is pregnant. There's no male stingray around.
Yeah.
And she is basically like Mother Mary to this Jesus stingray.
Yeah. So we have a Jesus stingray incoming.
Jesus stingray incoming. So they're like looking into it.
So like... there's no other fish that can like impregnate the stingray.
I don't really think it's like a horse and donkey situation.
Okay.
You know?
You think sperm just came out of nowhere?
Or there's two things that they're thinking about. Yeah, speculating. One is that there's a male shark in the tank.
Somewhere. Wait, male shark?
Yeah, like a smaller male shark.
A male shark can impregnate a stingray?
It's never happened before.
Okay.
It's a theory.
Okay.
One of the theories is that there is a male shark in the tank.
Okay.
Did this male shark sperm somehow impregnate the stingray? Or is this a Mother Mary situation and she just magically got pregnant out of nowhere? So they like tapped into these like stingray scientists who weighed in. And she believes it's more of like a Mother Mary situation where it's just kind of like there's no father. And yeah. She just kind of did it herself. But even she has never heard of it happening before.
Yeah, I don't think this ever happened in like nature.
I mean, we don't know about it. But here we are now. And everybody's patiently waiting for an update to see like, is the stingray babies going to be like half shark, half stingray? Or are they going to be perfectly normal stingrays? Like, what are these babies going to look like?
That's really interesting. It's like, how does that happen? Like, what do you do? Are they going to test on the baby?
Is this the start of a new religion?
Yeah, start a new stingrayism. But also, RIP Steve Irwin. You didn't deserve it. So maybe, I don't know.
Do you think?
What? He came back and impregnated the stingray?
No, do you think that the stingray
is Steve Irwin?
Yes.
Reincarnation.
Reincarnated.
It's like a human baby. Like, all right, mate. I come to get you. That was crazy.
I don't think we've ever had like such a cool guy like Steve Irwin that we loved in that same way.
Yeah, it's so sad.
Maybe it is a reincarnation of Steve Irwin.
Yeah.
That's pretty iconic.
Yeah, it's pretty
iconic.
What
if they named the babies Steve and Irwin?
It's kind of messed up though.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But we also hate stingrays around here because one of our friends actually got stung by a stingray.
Did you have to pee on him?
We didn't pee on him, but he put his foot in a bucket. It's our friend Saab.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his fault, clearly.
Was he fucking around with the stingray?
He was basically, we were going surfing, and last minute, the surfer goes, hey, there's a bunch of stingrays in the ocean. We're all like, you couldn't have told us that, like... maybe before we book this?
Yeah.
While we book this? I don't know.
Why did we spend hundreds of dollars? Yeah.
But he was like, basically all you got to do is shuffle your feet. So you go like, you know, left and right. on the sand, and basically it'll kind of like kick them away. They'll get scared and they'll kick away. Mm-hmm. But if you stomp and run like usual, you could stomp on them and basically they'll like take their tail and cut you and then like inject poison. So that's what stinging the stinger is. It's not like an electric pulse, oh, which I thought it was.
I also thought it was.
It's not like that. They basically cut and then like inject
like poison. Knife, like slice.
Yeah, knife slice.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
That's insane.
So our friend Saad gets really excited and he's just running in there like Baywatch or something like that. And then he goes in and then he goes, you know, he gets a few waves in and mm-hmm. we're like, oh, sick. And then he's running back in. He's like really excited. And then he goes, ah, and we're like, Saad, like, stop messing with us. You know? Stop joking around. And he's like, no, I think I got stung. And then we're like, all right, go back. And then we didn't think he was serious. We thought he was like pranking us because that whole trip was just pranks and pranks. Yeah. So he goes back. And then the guy who's the instructor, he's like, we were like, do we have to pee on him? He's like, nah, basically the reason you pee on like somebody's leg is because it's warm and hot. And so it makes it feel like less, it's less hurtful or whatever.
Okay.
Like you feel less pain. And so basically he already had a bag of hot water.
Like, just in case.
I think so. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why he had it, but he was ready. Like
anticipating.
Prepared. Yeah. Anticipating. So he had the bag of hot water and basically he just like dunked his like foot in there.
Oh.
And, yeah.
How long did it take for him to heal?
Like 2-3 days.
He couldn't walk on it?
Yeah. He could barely walk on it.
Damn.
Yeah. So he had to like limp and stuff like that. And he was like, it was one of the worst pains he ever had.
Do you think he deserved it?
Saad?
Yeah.
I mean, the way he was running, he did. But we all felt really bad.
Mm.
But honestly, like if it happened to anybody else, the trip would have been ruined. Like he was a champ for taking it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We love somebody like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like he took it like a champ. And if it happened to anybody else, literally anybody else, like it would be much worse.
Mm.
So he did take it.
R.I.P. Steve.
R.I.P. Steve. And R.I.P. Saad's foot for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's back. And now we are looking forward to the reincarnation of Steve Jobs.
Yeah. I also don't.
That's not what I meant.
Steve Jobs.
That's not what I meant.
I also don't fuck with sea animals, so.
Why?
I don't know. I just like, I like eating them, but like.
Fucks with that.
Yeah. They're just like, it's their territory, you know?
Okay.
Like with at least like lions and like other things. Yeah, it's like kind of their territory, but we've been on ground. You know, if we go in the ocean, like a shark, they're in control.
True. I have differing opinions on this currently.
What?
Because I just watched Luca.
Okay. What's Luca?
It's like a Disney movie.
Okay.
And I just learned the importance of
sea animals,
sea monsters.
Oh, fuck them.
And that they're actually so nice.
Sea monsters, like what?
I don't know. That's just what they were in the movie.
No way.
And they were like, everybody was trying to like be mean to the sea monsters, but really they were just like nice and they just needed to be accepted.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, why don't you want to fuck with Ariel? Have you heard of sirens?
No, what's that?
Oh my God. So apparently sirens are like mermaids, except they're ugly as
fuck. Yeah, yeah, okay.
And like, they will lure you in with like a beautiful sound.
Oh, yeah.
And like try to lure fishermen in and like lure them to their death. And there's like, I don't know why. Have you ever wondered this? Why like back home in Baksan, there's like jurails, which is, what's jurail?
Aren't they like rodents? Like
jurail, not jua.
Oh, jurail. I don't know.
You don't know what jurail is? Like a witch, like a djinn, but different. Like they're shapeshifters. Shapeshifters.
Shapeshifter. Okay.
Have you ever heard of shapeshifter stories or is this just a village thing?
Sort of, but like, I don't know.
Like don't go under trees. There's jurails.
No.
You've never heard of like shapeshifters in Pakistan, people and things taking
Khusras.
Shape.
Khusras.
They're called Khwajaseras, as we learned on our podcast from a different guest. I can't remember which one. But she worked with them. Kind of want to watch her documentary. But in Pakistan, they have these stories of these jurails, shapeshifters, jinns, all these types of stories. In other countries, they talk about black magic. They talk about sirens. They talk about just like things that are more, not mystical, but more spiritual type of beings, if you know what I'm talking about. Just like supernatural,
mm-hmm.
supernatural things.
Basically, like they do black magic and stuff.
no, not just black magic. Like they're shape, they're actual shapeshifters. They're like, okay. Like for example, like they'll just be sitting on a tree and they'll look like somebody you might know. But the reason why you know that they aren't somebody that you know is because their feet are backwards.
That's creepy as fuck.
You've never heard of this?
No.
Okay, we're going to go downstairs after this and talk to my mom and she's going to tell you all
about
it.
I'm scared.
Straight up. And there's been incidents where they will shapeshift and come into the house and pretend like they're a part of the family.
Has this happened to anyone in your family?
Yeah.
Yo, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yo, don't go to Kashmir, bro.
It's not just in Kashmir. It's all over Pakistan. And I was looking into it and sirens are really big in like different countries. Like I think there's one they're saying like in Germany and then like in the Amazon River or something like that. And they're like, oh, they're in the Caribbean. People are just kind of being like, oh, we have this one siren on here. We have this one siren here. Like, we all know about her and blah, blah, blah. Why does none of that exist in the U.S.?
We have Bigfoot.
That's the most, like bitch-ass type of supernatural creature there is.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just like a hairy dude.
It's just like a
hairy monster.
Big. It's just a big bear
that eats like berries. Like.
Yeah, he's just a big bear.
Yeah, I mean the Mexicans have like the chupacabra.
Chupacabra.
What else? I don't think UK has anything. I don't know what they have.
I'm sure they have something. Like, I know like in certain parts of Africa, like black magic is really big.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're just not like superstitious country. You got to worry about like a bunch of other. Shit.
Like mortgage.
Yeah, mortgage. Like that's our chupacabra.
Mortgage is our chupacabra.
Like, oh no.
No, but I feel like in other countries they have all these stories that are supernatural, except for the US.
I mean,
let me know if whatever, tell me about like what stories have you heard about other countries, like the audience? Because I feel like everybody's always telling me about like, oh, in my parents' home country this happens and my, you know, this happens. Yeah. And I'm just like, why growing up in America and then going back to that? I'm like, how come this shit only exists here?
Yeah.
How come this shit isn't over there for me to know?
Yeah.
You know? But then people do have encounters with ghosts.
Over here, we have like just ghost stuff. Like it's not like a specific type of extraterrestrial. Not extraterrestrial. What's the word? Extra.
I was saying supernatural. I don't know if
supernatural.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll do supernatural. So something that's like supernatural. We don't have like a specific, you know, not genre, but like species of supernatural. Like, you know, over here we just have ghosts.
Have you ever had a ghost encounter?
I don't think so.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, there was one time where I was like laying down and then I felt tickling in my feet. And then I look and there was no one there.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was like, who's there? And no one responded.
Wait, it felt like real tickling.
Someone was tickling my feet.
No.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Oh, I thought you were going to laugh because last time I told that story, someone burst out laughing. They're like, what the fuck is that story?
That's scary as fuck.
Yeah, really.
I would lose it.
Yeah. And then I don't know if you've had this before, but there's one time where, you know, like first day of school, you're like kind of like excited.
Yeah.
And so you have your clothes like propped up on the chair. So I did that. Right. And I was so excited. I woke up like, you know, 2 hours earlier before than like when I was supposed to wake up. And I look and it's just like middle of the night. You look. And I swear I saw like a demon like staring at me.
Was that 3 a.m.?
Yeah, it was like 3 a.m. And I was like, what the heck? And I like closed my eyes. I opened it back again and I saw the clothes. So I was just like, I don't think it was a demon. I think I was just like imagining thing. That was like not supernatural, but I just like saw it. I was like, what the heck?
You know, at 3 a.m. they say it's the devil's hour.
Really?
So people who like wake up at 3 a.m. often have to like you should probably like get yourself cleansed or something or go through some sort of detox.
Voodoo.
Bye, Lota, bro.
Bye, Lota. There was another story where so my uncle he would play this game called House of the Dead.
Okay.
And basically there was like flying monkeys and whatnot in the game.
Okay.
You like shoot people, zombies, all that
it's
stuff.
It's a video game.
It's a video game.
Got it.
I would watch him play it, whatnot. And so one time, this is like when I was like 4, 5, 6, right? So we're sleeping in the same bed and I wake up middle of the night, I hear noises and I see those flying monkeys on the ceiling, like just going around and
Wait,
stuff like that.
What?
And I thought it's just like my vision in the game. I'm just like, oh, there's flying monkeys. And then my uncle's like, I see them too. And I was like, no way. Like, you're just like pranking me or whatnot. So I just let it go there. I went back to sleep or whatnot. Uh-huh. And so then I brought this story up like a year ago or 2 years ago. And I thought he was just messing with me at that point. Uh-huh. And then I was talking about these flying monkeys. And he was like, no, I remember that. And I was like, what are you? Are you serious? Like, that was real or some shit? I don't know. Like, were we just like envisioning these things? Like, how do we both see it?
Yeah.
And how is it from the game? I don't even know if it's from the game. It was, maybe it was just like
inspired
a real version or like the djinn version. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And then my uncle, another time, he had this devil mask.
Okay. And like a Scream one?
It's not like Scream, but it's like legit, like the devil.
Oh, the devil.
The devil. Okay. Yeah. And one time, like, he left it in my room. And I woke up at 6 a.m. and I see the devil in front of me.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, no, let me out of here. Let me out of here. And the door wasn't even locked.
Did you know that he left it in there? Like, or
No. I went to sleep. I woke up. The devil mask is right in front, like on top of the dresser.
Oh, my God.
As soon as I got up, he definitely like put it there to prank me. And then I'm like, no, get me out of here. And then like, yeah, I think I just like knocked out shortly after. And then my mom came in. And she's like, what happened? I was like, the devil's there. And then, like, I think my uncle woke up and, like, moved the mask somewhere else. And so there's no devil mask.
When you woke up again?
Yeah. And then my mom's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, no.
Oh, my God. I was talking about, like, I was basically, like, questioning. Because I've always had this question lifelong. Not that I'm asking for any supernatural things to happen to me, but I'm like, I have never witnessed it. And to be fair, I've had a cat for most of my life, so anytime she could be sitting next to me and I hear a voice like from across the house, and I'd be like, oh, that's my cat, you know, like it's never going to be a ghost, it's always going to be my cat in my head, right? So I was basically questioning djinns and all these types of things, and I was like, this is not like, like prove it, you know, prove it.
Who are you saying that to?
One of my Islamic study teachers. Oh, okay. And she basically tells me the story about how her and her husband had gone to an Islamic college, and he was in a room with other males. They were bunking together, and there's three of them in a room, and it was an Islamic college. There are three in a room. It's time to go to sleep. The light's on, and they're all like, oh, man, like, you close the light. Now you close the light. Now you close the light. And then their third roommate, who was on the top bunk, his hand just extends across the room.
What the heck?
And, like, turns off the light with the switch. So they're all, like, quiet, and they, like, completely shut down. And they just pretend to sleep for the entire rest of the night, and they just stayed awake until it was Fajr time. And then they got up, ran out, did wudu, and ran straight to the dean's office. And they tell the dean what happened. And the dean called that student in and was like, hey, your roommates told us that you did this. Like, are you a djinn? Like, what's going on? And he was like, yeah, I'm a djinn, but I really want to, like, learn about Islam. And I want to, like, be a part of the real world. And I want to take place. And he was like, I understand that you want to do this, but unfortunately, like, this is for humans, and I really cannot have you here and, like, scaring the rest of the students. So you're welcome to learn on your own, but I'm going to have to ask you to leave the school.
What the heck?
Right.
Well, I would have been like, if I was the dean, I'd be like, if you're still paying tuition, like, you can join. As long as you're paying tuition, you're good.
All of a sudden, the check bounced. Yeah. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's wild.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good promotion for the school? Like,
we're so good.
We accept djinns, but like, you know.
No, we're so good that even the djinns want to come here to be Muslim.
Dude,
insane.
But I'd be like sad. Like, what if that's your friend you make? You know, like those TV shows or movies where you like join a summer camp for like the first time, and then like you don't know anybody, but the first friend you make, they like become your best friend.
And he was a djinn. Yeah, that's what happened in Luca. He was a sea monster. and he like went to land, and this girl who didn't have any friends, they were a sea monster, Shamir.
Oh.
And Luca, and they went to land, and they're blending in with humans, and the girl who had no friends befriended both of them. And then she found out they were sea monsters, and she had like this dilemma of like,
oh dang,
do I stay friends with them? Do I lose my friends now?
So where's the gin? He's like vibing. Like,
right next to you.
You're not allowed on the podcast. This is humans only.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Now I'm getting chills.
You know, my thing is that I feel like it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just if you like really put your energy and like your thought into it, then you'll like see those things.
Yeah.
If you know.
Like back home, they always go like, oh, iskibas G's ha, like things attach to humans. I'm like, do things attach to people in America here and we just take it as mental illness?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Damn.
We're like, oh, he's bipolar. Nah, that man got a gin in him.
Yeah. He's got a second person inside of him.
Yeah. He's schizophrenic. No, he literally is possessed.
Yeah.
Because back home, the first thing they do is do a prayer over them and get them clean.
Yeah.
Over here, we're giving them medicine. The fuck is a gin going to do with medicine?
Yeah. I mean, it could vibe with like Adderall or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you'd just be like, ah, let's take this body up to speed.
That's funny. Oh my gosh. All right, we've hit an hour and 10 minutes. And if anyone's listening to this at night, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
we're talking about gins and stuff like that.
Please submit your gin stories. Please. Yeah. Can we make it a prompt on the Patreon or something?
Yeah. Definitely submit your gin stories or like DM us on Instagram at Strange Flavors. And let us know your gin story. We'll talk about it on the podcast. And
we'll share them.
Yeah, we'll share them. And we're going to move on to the Patreon. So hopefully you guys enjoyed our episode here with just Amber and I.
Teehee.
What are we going to talk about?
We are going to talk about anyone but you.
Anyone but you. We're going to talk about anyone but you. Let me talk about that real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I feel like it's not Patreon worthy.
Go ahead.
It's here worthy. So basically... There is, did you know that Anyone But You has become the highest grossing live action William Shakespeare adaptation?
I don't know what Anyone But You is.
It's the Sydney Sweeney like rom-com movie.
Oh!
Yeah.
It's the highest grossing
William Shakespeare.
Is it? Is
adaptation.
I didn't know that it was based on William Shakespeare.
No one did. Everyone's like, what? Adaptation of what? And like, and so then apparently it's come out in news where like it's like a loose adaptation
of what,
of William Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing. I've never heard about that book.
Interesting.
Have you heard about that?
No, but like I did fuck with Shakespeare for a minute.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
You didn't fuck with Shakespeare?
No, I didn't understand shit. I had to like spark notes all that shit.
You didn't have to like memorize a monologue?
I had to memorize it. I loved performing it.
Oh.
But I didn't know what they were saying.
Like, we had a whole, like, section on Shakespeare, and I was like, yo, this story's lit.
I mean, his stories were intricate and stuff like that, but I just didn't like reading. So, as, like, reading those things and not understanding most of it, but when we had to, like, act it out or play or anything, I didn't have to fully understand, like, what they're saying or whatnot. You just knew the general premise, so you can, like, act it out, but...
Remember, I had my English high school teacher on the podcast?
Yeah.
He made it really fun.
Yeah, he was cool, dude.
Yeah, he would, like... say what William Shakespeare said, and then he'd say it so theatrically.
Yeah.
And then he'd stop and he would be like, so what do we think this means? And then he'd like have a very poetic way of like getting it to us.
Wow.
So maybe it was just I had a really good teacher.
Yeah, you're lucky. But I took like theater class in high school, but I never wanted to join theater club.
Fair. Totally understandable.
So I wanted to like act and stuff, but just not join
them.
Yeah, not with them. So for theater class, you get a grade and like, you know, you're in control, like with the students you have in the class. Mm-hmm. And it's like other people are also there. They don't like really care about theater that much.
Yeah.
But they care enough to like be in the class.
Yeah.
So it was fun enough. And so we had like a huge like assignment. Basically, we had to memorize like a entire scene for this Shakespeare. I forgot which play it was, but it was one of them. Hamlet, Harriet, whatever. And so I got like one of the roles and like, you know, it was a long ass monologue. And so basically the assignment was we had to perform that at actually the Shakespeare Theater in DC.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, it was just a bunch of different theater classes, mm-hmm. and they're performing the whole entire play.
Oh, in parts.
In parts. And so wow. our class was doing like one part. And so that was like the best thing I did.
I was also in theater class.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I did it because it was an easy elective.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also the only elective that was available. That so my cousin ended up going to my school her junior year, my senior year.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted a class with her. So basically like got our schedules changed to where we could go to the same elective, theater. And me and her were just using this class as a time to hang out and like do whatever. We would like be driving to school and she'd be like, take a right turn. And then we'd end up in Baltimore City just doing random shit. One day we're in theater class. Before we'd go to school, we decided to smoke weed. So we get high as shit, and go to theater class.
That's crazy.
And the only thing that we do the entire class was just smash on goldfish for the
entire... What? Smash on goldfish?
Yeah.
What is that?
Just goldfish. You never had goldfish?
You eat goldfish. I didn't know what smash... That was a game.
We're just downing like an entire bag of goldfish laughing.
Wow.
And our teacher was like, what is wrong with you guys? And yeah. we just started laughing even harder.
Oh my God.
We just like had zero care. And like this theater teacher, rest in peace.
Oh, R.I.P.
She was like, hey, I'm locking the door and, you know, we're going to go into the stage room, the theater. And she didn't like the look of iPhones in your back pocket because back then you used to put your phone in your back pocket, you know? And she was like, keep your phones in here. You're not allowed to take them. I'm going to lock the door. Leave your phones in here. And I was like, no, I just bought my iPhone. Like, but I didn't say it like that. But in my head, I was like that. So I told her, I was like, I don't want mine to get stolen. She was like, I'm locking it. You cannot take it into the theater room. So I go and I put it in my bag and I go to the theater and I come back. And I'm looking for my phone and it's gone. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? So I start looking everywhere. This was when iPhones were so rare to have.
Were you high?
No. Okay. Fully sober. First iPhone ever. I've only had it for 3 weeks at this point. Back then you could steal them, hack them, reuse them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, like my iPhone is missing. Yeah. I start retracing my steps. I go to my theater teacher. I was like, what the heck? And so finally, I tell my parents, my brother files for the insurance. I get a new phone. But I was like, this is so fucking annoying. This Indian dude who happens to go to my school would message me and be like, hey, I heard you lost your phone. Is everything okay?
Sus.
Sus AF.
Yeah.
He's not in that class, though.
Even more sus.
I said, hey, how did you find out about it? He was like, oh, people were talking about it. Like, do you know who did it? And I was like, did what? And he was like, steal your phone. I was like, I didn't say anybody stole my phone. I don't know what happened. Like, I could have lost it, you know? And he was like, oh, okay. Well, like, let me know if you think anybody did it, whatever. And then he'd message me the next day. And the next day, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? And I just ignored it. I was kind of naive. Then one of my like closest homegirls in the class messages me. And she goes, hey, I was supposed to get a cut of the phone, that your phone that was stolen. This dude, we're going to call him Bandy.
The fuck kind of name is that?
It rhymes with his real name. Okay. And I can't think of something else. Okay. Bandy.
Okay.
She was like, Bandy stole your phone and he was going to sell it and give me and TJ a cut. And he stole it and he kept all the money. So I'm going to tell you about it because he never gave us our money.
Damn.
And I looked at her and I was like, but you're supposed to be my homegirl and you were a part of this. Like,
oh shit,
you were a part of my phone being stolen. She's like, he was going to steal it anyway.
What?
She was like, he just said that if we stayed quiet, we would get a cut. So then the other guy hits me up. He's like, here's all the screenshots. He prints out all the screenshots of him talking to Bandy about stealing my phone.
This is the Indian guy? Or someone?
Some other dude in my class, okay? He also happened to be my neighbor up the street, okay? Damn. So Bandy, And mind you, everybody who's involved in the story are the only people of color in this class.
Oh, everyone else is white.
And it just sucked because, like, why are we doing this to ourselves?
Yeah.
So Bandy then goes and he never gives a cut to TJ. He never gives a cut to Sinclair. And then TJ goes, he prints out all these receipts and I take them and I give it to my brother who's in law school at the time. And my brother goes and he takes it to the security officer. This is why I swear I should have been Gen Z. They took it and said Facebook messages is just the internet. Internet is not real. Therefore, this is not proof.
Damn. I was going to say shout out your brother for doing that.
Right.
That's actually badass.
Right.
Yeah.
He never got in trouble. His mom ended up hating me. They never, ever did anything to him. I had to just pay for a new deductible for a phone. And Bandy stole my shit.
Damn.
And Bandy has the same exact address that I do on a different street.
Mm.
So my mail gets sent to this motherfucker's house all the time.
Even now.
Even now.
So he's stealing your mail and your phone.
And imagine what his mom thinks. I spend $300 on a Fashion Nova order. I go to their house. I knock on the door. She looks at me and she goes, what do you want?
Even today.
Even today. All because of Bandy and his stealing ass. And his brother tried to holler at me afterwards. Why would I let you holler if your brother's a stealer?
Damn.
All because of theater class.
Bandy, if you're watching this right now, we can strike a deal. I know how to get into this house. There's a bunch of equipment here. You know, we got this. We got this. We can make money together. And, you know, it'll be fun.
Me showing this to the police and they're gonna be like, it's a podcast.
It's a podcast, you know.
It's not real.
It's not even like a, you know, high rated podcast.
It's you don't have enough views for this to be real information.
But yeah, this is the Anyone But You.
I am so sorry.
No. I think it's perfect. I think people enjoy this.
Tangents,
yeah. But yeah, Anyone But You is based off William Shakespeare play.
Oh my God.
And that is this week's episode of Strange Flavors. It's been another week.
Another flavor.
A little less stranger.
We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.